half past 10, our scheduled time to start. Welcome you, colleagues. We'd like to warmly welcome a new member of our family, Honorable Bukes, who was not with us when we met last time. Welcome. Home. We've got a very brief meeting this morning. I just want to thank members for being here. And we will, I'm sure copies of the agenda have been circulated and presented to members. Apologies. Okay, none received. All right, thank you. Order. Right. This morning, colleagues, we are going to receive a presentation on the consideration of the legacy report. By our content advisor. After that, Ms. Shabalala and Mr. Makagula will take us through their designated focus areas in terms of matters arising out of the legacy report, and then the committee will have a discussion after that. I think for the purposes of Honorable Bukes's nuke, and members introduce themselves, and I think this will be the last time we introduce ourselves. Because I think you know everybody. So off the bat, I'll start with the AG and then move to my right.
Morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member. My name is Zanele Keto from the Office of the Auditor General.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm Sifiso Makakula, the researcher for the committee.
Yes, Faith.
Morning, Honorable Members. My name is Faith Ndenze, Media Officer for the committee. Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Gugu Shabalala. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning, everyone. Ben Kali, Committee Secretary for SCOPA.
Okay. Good morning, members, and good morning, Chairperson. My name is Ndando Tenge. I'm the content advisor for the committee.
Honorable Members.
Oh, please. Member.
Benedict Ifaminen, member.
Alexandra Birkus, alternate member.
Mervyn Alexander Dirks, a member of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't introduce myself properly. Uma Zamba and U Robert, U Alfred, Wagalis.
Morning, Chair, the Honorable Members Committee. My name is Sakunzi Somyo, as a member of the committee.
Thank you. Kulego Tlengwa, Chair of the committee. And welcome PMG as well. You can introduce yourself, sir.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Matthew Schreiber. I'm a PMG monitor.
So off the bat, and this is Ntombi Nkabinde, who is the committee secretary. All right. Tando, we are going to be in your capable hand and take us through the legacy report. I would imagine that all members received it. It was circulated, a soft copy. There is a hard copy available as well. And then Tando, Swiso and Gugu. After Ntando, you will summarize for us your focus areas, and then the committee will have an interaction. Right, Ntando, we're in your hands.
Okay, morning, Honorable Members again. K Can I request that I finish the presentation briefly? If there are any questions, they can be noted. It's not a long presentation. It's on the legacy report of the Fifth Parliament, Skopas Fifth Parliament. The chairperson gave his political overview on the legacy report that was sent to members. So my role really is just to touch on the administrative issues in the legacy report. Okay, the contents of the this presentation, it will touch on the mandate of the committee, on the Skopas 3 strategic objectives. I will explain what they are as the presentation goes. The focus areas identified in the strategic plan for the 2014-2019. The key stakeholders that the committee engaged on its oversight work. The findings and challenges from the Skopas hearings and oversight visits. The key achievements, this will be a summary of the key achievements, as well as the internal and external challenges that hindered the work of the committee during the period under review. The key follow-up issues, as well as the recommendations to the Sixth Parliament. Okay. On slide number 3, on the mandate of the committee, SCOPA derives its mandate from Section 55, Subsection 2 of the Constitution, which stipulates that the National Assembly must provide for mechanisms to ensure that all executive organs of state in the national sphere of government are accountable to it, as well as to exercise oversight on the executive authority. In addition, SCOPA is established in terms of Rule 243, the National Assembly Rules. There are four standing committees in the Parliament: the Standing Committee on Appropriations, Standing Committee on Auditor General, Standing Committee on Finance, as well as Standing Committee on Public Accounts. The other three standing committees, they also get the mandate on a specific act, which is for Auditor General, there's a Public Audit Act, which also gives that committee powers and mandate. For SCOWEC, which is Standing Committee on Appropriation, as well as Standing Committee on Finance, there's a Money Bills Act. For SCOPA, there's no specific act that gives mandate to the committee. So the rules and the constitution. Rule 244 of the 9th edition, which is the latest rule, which were revised in 2016, stipulates the functions and powers of the committee. I'll just read them as they are in the rules. The Standing Committee on Public Accounts must consider the financial statements of all organs of state and constitutional institutions or other public bodies where those statements are submitted to Parliament. Any audit report issued on those statements, any reports issued by the Auditor General on the affairs of any executive organ of state, the constitutional institution, or other public body. Okay, slide 4. Any reports reviewing expenditure of public funds by any executive organ of state and constitutional institution or other public body, and any other financial statements or reports referred to the committee in terms of these rules. SCOPA may report on those financial statements or reports to the National Assembly, may initiate any investigation in its area of competence. SCOPA must perform any other functions, tasks, or duties assigned to it in terms of the Constitution, the legislation, the National Assembly rules, the joint rules, or resolutions of the National Assembly, including the functions and tasks and duties concerning the parliamentary financial oversight or supervision of executive organs of state or constitutional institutions or public bodies. In the beginning of the fifth parliamentary term, which was in 2014, the committee developed a five-year strategic plan. During the strategic plan, the committee identified three objectives, main objectives. which are the following, and they are we are in page 5 of the presentation. The core objectives was to consider all annual reports tabled in Parliament to enhance the effectiveness of SCOPAM and to improve the understanding of SCOPAM by the public accounts. Okay, can I just explain the process briefly, Chairperson, of tabling the annual reports? Section 65 of the PFMA requires that all annual reports must be tabled in Parliament by the executive authority, which is the minister. Okay. The process is that it's a long process within the departments, but I'll just go briefly through it. Like after 2 months of the financial year end, the financial year end for the departments ends in March. So after 2 months, the departments or the entities, they submit the financial statements to the Auditor General. That's the process. But what is more important and applicable to Parliament is that within 1 month when the financial statements have been signed by the accounting authority, which is the DG of the department, or the accounting authority, which is the board in the case of public entities, those financial statements must be submitted to Parliament. The Section 65 specifies that after 6 months, end of the financial year, all the annual reports must have been tabled to Parliament. So by 30th of September, all the annual reports should have been tabled by Parliament. However, there's a provision in Section 5, which is Section 65, subsection 2, which says that in the event that the executive authority cannot table the annual reports, then it has to write to Parliament via the Speaker's office and explain the reasons for non-tabling of financial statements and annual report. But in the past years, we have seen a trend in the committee where the departments will not submit the annual reports. So it hinders the work of the committee. Departments, there are various reasons why departments, they don't submit annual reports. The trend in the past few years was that some departments were challenging the findings of the Auditor General. So the departments will not submit the annual reports because they do not agree with the findings of the Auditor General. It happened for the Department of Environmental Affairs a few years back, as well as SARS, amongst other departments and entities, where they do not agree with the findings of the Auditor General, and it hinders the tabling process. Another reason for non-submitting is in the case of public entities, where maybe there's a sort of guarantee that is waiting for approval or bailout or whatever the case may be, because the public entities have to be a going concern. If by the time the Auditor General finishes its audit and that guarantee has not been approved or something, then it hinders the tabling processes because it possesses a going concern of risk for the public entity. That also it mostly happens in public entities. Other reasons relate to poor controls within the departments, where the departments just don't submit the financial statements at the stipulated time to the Auditor General, and then it prolongs the process of auditing, and then the department is delayed, and then the tabling is delayed. Okay, the committee in the past have had engagements with the departments that were not tabled by the stipulated time, and it's included in the hearings that we have, that is included in the legacy report. In all other cases where the financial statements have been tabled, the committee now must consider all these annual reports. There are currently about more than 300 entities, public entities, that fall within the committee, as well as around 42 departments, because the committee has to consider all the budget votes except Parliament. Parliament does not fall within this committee. There's a joint financial, there's another committee that the vote to deals with the with this process. Okay. Just briefly, when the annual reports are tabled, there are groups. I think there will be a session where a detailed process on the scope of work will be done, because according to the rules, the committee must consider all the annual reports. So that there will be two groups. The annual reports will be divided between the two groups. And in those groups, that's where they scrutinize what is the findings of the Auditor General, what are the key areas, what are the trends, what are the focus areas that we should consider in that oversight cycle that we're looking at. Okay, the Auditor General issues 5 main audit outcomes. I'll just go briefly. It's unqualified audit outcomes with, okay, unqualified audit findings without findings. Unqualified audit outcome without findings, which is what we call clean audit outcome. There's also unqualified audit outcome with findings. There's a qualification, there's disclaimer, and then there's adverse audit outcomes, which from qualification, disclaimer, adverse, is the worst audit opinion. That disclaimer is when the Auditor General does not say that the information that is presented is not sufficient for the Auditor General to issue audit opinion. So in that process, in the committees, in the groups, the committee will identify the findings by the Auditor General based on the audit outcomes. The main focus areas over the five-year period under review that were recurring and which were a cause for concern by the Auditor General, which also drove the activities, the oversight activities of the committee. Okay, I'm connected. Okay. We are in slide six. Thank you so much. Slide 6, which were the focus areas for the committee over 5 years. Okay, the main scope of focus area, this is a summary of what was driving the oversight activities of SCOPA in the five-year period under review. It was non-compliance with supply chain management prescripts, the increase in unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, consequence management against officials, the financial health of departments and entities, the non-payment of invoices within 30 days, the human resource management, including excessive reliance by government departments and entities on consultants, on the use of consultants, the non-filling of critical vacancies, the non-vetting of employees, and deviations and expansions. They are all there in the legacy report. I'll just pick few in the interest of time. I'll discuss them in the later slides. Okay. The stakeholders, the key stakeholders, because everyone is a stakeholder of the committee, but the key stakeholders that I would like to touch on that assist the committee in conducting its oversight work is the Auditor General South Africa, which will be referred as AG. And I'll explain the role of AG in the committee. The AG briefs the committee on the overall audit outcomes. Overall audit outcomes, when all the financial statements, annual report and financial statements have been tabled, which will be around October, the committee calls AG for a briefing on the overall audit outcomes in identifying the findings, like the key findings, the trends, what are the trends in the departments, the audit challenges of the departments, as well as that process also gives focus for the oversight cycle of the committee. Also, the audit general, when it's invited by the committee, when the committee decided that, okay, now we're calling, for instance, Department of Water and Sanitation, if the committee requests a detailed briefing on that entity that is coming or department that is coming, then the auditor general will also brief the committee on issues, specific issues now in that department. Okay? The auditor general also briefs the committee on the tabled performance audit reports, what we call value for money audits, if there are any. Value for money audits, they are, what I can say, ad hoc. It's different from regulatory audits. It depends on what the auditor general has audited, performance audit. So the last audit report on performance audit that was tabled by AG and referred to the committee was on the rural household infrastructure grant, which was in 2015. It was tabled and then it was referred to SCOPA, and then SCOPA had hearings. Okay, for AG also. Okay. Okay. For also, when we have our hearings, there will be officials from the Auditor General. They will come and then sit during the hearing. If there is any issue by the direction of Chairperson or any other member, issue of clarity during the hearing, the Chairperson can request the Auditor General to provide more clarity. So in most cases, the officials from Auditor General are present in the SCOPA hearings. National Treasury provides quarterly briefings on financial management matters, information on the extent of deviations and expansions which will be discussed later in the slide, in government departments or public entities. The committee also engage with the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer, which is based in National Treasury, on supply chain management issues. National Treasury also briefs the committee on unauthorized expenditure. There will be a slide where I'll explain what the process is to be followed in unauthorized expenditure. But again, National Treasury will have to brief the committee because committee has to approve the unauthorized expenditure. Also, same as with Auditor General, the officials from National Treasury are also invited to attend SCOPA hearings. And also with the direction of Chairperson and members, when requested, they can provide input or clarity on issues that the members during the hearing have or not clear with. Okay, I must explain that National Treasury is also, as much as it's also a stakeholder in assisting the committee with some financial management, it's also a department that the committee oversees. So it can also be called by committee on its own financial statements. We have done it in the past where there was irregular on integrated financial management system. So the National Treasury came to the committee to account on its financial statements because it's also a government department. Also, still on the stakeholders, we've got the parliamentary committees as well as standing committees, including NCOP committees that are all part of the stakeholders of the committee. If I can just mention that Rule 248, National Assembly Rules 248, requires that SCOPA gives notice to the portfolio committee when SCOPA deals with a matter falling within the portfolio committee. Okay, this rule is not necessarily a joint, it doesn't necessarily mean that the hearing is a joint hearing. The committee is a courtesy, because it's required by the rules, to inform the Department of Water and Sanitation that SCOPA is dealing with water and sanitation. The committee still within, the chairperson will, it's not a joint committee, the chairperson will drive the process and give the members of the committee the focus areas and can or give the portfolio committee members also opportunity to ask questions, which is different from the joint hearing or joint oversight. Joint hearing is when the two committees now they call the meetings. The committee also has joint oversight visits. As discussed in the legacy report, there was a joint oversight visit in 2014. Another stakeholder for the committee is the anti-corruption task team, which includes official representatives from different departments and entities, including the National Treasury, the Department of Public Service and Administration, State Security, the SIU, SAPS, HAWKS, SARS, and NPA. This anti-corruption task team briefs the committee on the cases, the current cases that they were dealing with, the cases on corruption, cases, money laundering, fraud, theft in the public sector as well as private sector. The officials from the ACA anti-corruption task team are also invited. They were invited in some of the hearings, SCOPA hearings. The reason for the invitation is that when the departments used to come to SCOPA to account maybe on the investigations or that were happening in the departments, they used to say no, the cases were referred to the investigating bodies. So the committee decided that in the fifth parliament that it's better to have them so that they can brief the committee when the department is there, the status on the cases, as well as if there are any issues that the committee would like to refer to the anti-corruption task team, it can do that during the hearing. So the anti-corruption understands what is going on, or the issues. Okay. The committee also has a special meets with a special investigation team unit, which provides the committee on detailed progress on the status of investigation on malpractices and maladministrations relating to the state institutions, state assets, and public money. The Public Service Commission, slide 9, the Public Service Commission also when invited, it briefs the committee on information on human resource issues as well as service delivery issues. There are new regulations, public service regulations, that prohibits government employees in doing business with the state. So the Public Service Commission provides that kind of information to the committee. The extent of conflict of interest, the extent and as well as the actions taken against officials who do business with the state. There's also the Association of Public Accounts Committees, and as well as the Southern African Development Community of Public Accounts, SADCOPEC. I'll just briefly say that APEC consists of all nine public accounts committees, as well as the national SCOPA, and it provides training and conferences to SCOPA members, as well as support staff. I'll just leave it at that. I know that the speak to it is. Also, the media, I must say that all SCOPA, in terms of Rule 184, all SCOPA meetings are open to the public. So the media is invited. The media, through the communications specialist office, Faith, Faith also organized media briefings. Well, if we discuss in our strike plan that there should be a media briefing on a particular issue, also conducts interviews and statements by the chairperson. Okay, these are the key summary of key stakeholders that the committee engages with in them on a day-to-day basis. Okay, I'm on slide 10. And challenges, summary of challenges on from SCOPA hearings and oversight visits. In the interest of time, I'll only cover the four of those four of those areas, which is the supply chain management, the unauthorized, irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, deviations and expansions, and internal control. Under supply chain, the committee has observed that the departments and entities that don't comply with Section 217 of the Constitution, Section 38, Subsection 1, A, Subsection 3, and Section 45B of the Public Finance Management Act, the Treasury Regulation 16A.1, which deals with procurement in the public sector, the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act, as well as its regulations. All these acts, they require that they must be fair, equitable, transparent, competitive, and cost-effective procurement of goods and services in the public sector. And the Triple PFA gives, together with its regulations, gives directions on where the department must go on an open tender, where the department must go or if it wants to procure goods through three code systems. Okay, but the findings of the Auditor General over the years has always there were always material findings in the SCM, in government departments, and this remains high in most departments. The most common findings were that the departments, they do not obtain the three return quotations when procuring goods and services. The competitive bidding process is not always invited. The recommendations of the bid adjudication as well as the bid evaluation committee, they are not implemented by the departments. So the departments also appoint suppliers who are not tax compliant or without tax clearance certificate. And also from the oversight visits that we attended as well as the hearings, there's always a high vacancy rate in supply chain management units. The staff turnover is in most cases always high, and then the inadequate training for staff in SCM units, which is in contravention of Treasury Regulation 16.8.5, which requires that these officials in the SCM units should always be provided with a regular training. If there are changes in the delegation of authority, or if there's instruction note or practice note from National Treasury on procurement, so they should always be up to date on of the changes. Also, there was a cabinet decision that was issued in 2014 that requested that all officials in supply chain management should be vetted in order to prevent conflict of interest. So we find that even though there's this decision, we still find staff in SCM who have not been vetted. This cabinet decision also applies to the public entities, senior officials in the public entities also, as well as supply chain management entities. So these are all the findings that were in the supply chain management. And I must say that there's this office of the Chief Procurement Officer in the National Treasury, which is responsible to address all these challenges in the SEM in the public sector. Another key finding or challenges from GOPA oversight visits as well as hearings is the issue of irregular expenditure. Slide 11. Irregular expenditure. I'll just go through what the PFMA says on irregular expenditure. Irregular expenditure in Section 1 of the PFMA is defined as expenditure which is incurred in contravention of applicable legislation, mostly the PFMA as well as the legislation that I discussed in the previous slide. In the case of irregular expenditure, PFMA specifies that the accounting officer or the account, whatever is the PFM prescribes for the accounting officer in the case of department is also the same for the board in the case of the public entity, which is the accounting authority. So the PFMA requires that the accounting officer and the accounting authority prevents unauthorized, irregular and fruitless expenditure. So that's what the so there must be controls in place to minimize the incurrence of irregular expenditure. The PSMA requires that the department, the accounting officer, keeps a register of irregular expenditure, and this register should be updated regularly and submitted together with the monthly reports to National Treasury. In this register, there should be the date that the irregular expenditure occurred, the nature of the transaction, the implicated official, the amount, as well as the disciplinary actions that have been taken. So this should be submitted on a monthly basis to National Treasury. PSMA also requires that the accounting officer must take appropriate disciplinary actions against responsible officials, including the recovery of the money that has been lost. So it's important that the investigations take place so that the accounting officer can determine whether the irregular expenditure can be condoned or recovered. Treasury regulations allow the accounting officers or the accounting authority to condone some irregular expenditure. But in some cases, only National Treasury can condone the irregular expenditure, especially if the irregular expenditure is incurred in contravention of the Treasury regulations. Also, in the case where it is the accounting officer who is responsible for incurring the irregular expenditure. So only National Treasury can condone. So the accounting officer can't condone the irregular expenditure that he is responsible for incurring. In such cases, the National Treasury must report to the relevant executive authority, to the minister, about the irregular expenditure, and there should be investigation taken. Briefly on the unauthorized expenditure, just to, as well as fruitless, I'll just go briefly on this one, explain what unauthorized expenditure is. Unauthorized expenditure is the overspending of a budget vote or a main division of budget vote. The same principles apply in unauthorized expenditure, that there should be a register and with all the details that is updated on a regular basis. This register must be submitted to National Treasury, and there must be actions taken against implicated officials after investigation. In the case of unauthorized expenditure, they come when they go to National Treasury, they have to be approved by Parliament, and the Standing Committee on Public Accounts, this committee is responsible for unauthorized expenditure. So National Treasury prepares a detailed report of the various instances of unauthorized expenditure and is submitted to SCOPA. National Treasury is called now by the committee to brief the committee on the nature of the unauthorized expenditure. If members have any questions, they engage National Treasury. And then after the briefing, the hearing, the committee will then write a report to National Assembly now. The committee, and its recommendation, it can recommend to National Assembly whether or not the unauthorized expenditure must be approved, or when it's approved, whether or not it should be treated as a direct charge against the revenue, direct revenue charge, or a charge against the funds allocated in the following year. Okay. This simply means whether there must be an additional appropriation for the unauthorized expenditure or the department should use its savings in the future or the following year. Briefly on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure which was made in vain, fruitless and wasteful expenditure is expenditure which was made in vain, which would have been avoided should reasonable care be exercised. The same principles apply also for, like, there must be a register updated in for fruitless and wasteful expenditure. This expenditure, it can only, after the investigation has taken place, the accounting officer or accounting authority can either write off the irregular expenditure or recover it from the responsible officials. Okay. Now, the most common findings from the hearings of SCOPA. The most common findings from the is that there's increase in this expenditure in irregular expenditure reported by Auditor General for the 2017-2018 PFMA audit was over 58 billion, fruitless and wasteful expenditure over 2 billion, and unauthorized expenditure 2.1 billion. The problem and the challenge that committee, that's why it says that we must put focus on this expenditure, is that the departments don't comply with the PFMA requirements. They don't keep this register. They don't, there are no investigations taken, or if there is an investigation, there are no time frames. You find that investigations, they go for years. And that's why that you find that in the books of the departments, you'll find that there is a huge balance on the irregular or unauthorized or fruitless and wasteful expenditure because there have been no actions taken. For instance, in the case of water, Department of Water and Sanitation, which is the department that the committee really had several hearings with it in last year, it had a closing balance of 933 million of unauthorized expenditure. Irregular expenditure was 6.2 billion, the closing balance. It means that there are no actions taken, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure was, the closing balance was 16 million. So the amount is not recovered from the implicated officials, and no actions taken against transgressors. So the committee, even when they write reports to the department with SCOPA recommendations, there are still no actions taken. But again, there's this new audit, new public audit act, which will give powers to the Auditor General to issue certificates of debt to the accounting officer, which will force the accounting officer to take actions against the implicated officials. Okay, Chairperson. Can I? 10 minutes? Okay, let me round up. Okay, another area that the committee also focused on, we are on slide 14, was on the issue of deviations and procurement through deviations and expansions. Procurement through deviations and expansions provided in Treasury Regulation 6.460. A 6.4, which says if in a specific area case it is impractical to invite competitive bids, the accounting officer or accounting authority may procure the required goods by other means, provided that the reasons for deviating from inviting competitive bids must be recorded and approved by the accounting officer. This provision of Treasury Regulation. Was intended for emergency procurement where there was serious or unexpected situation, or in the case of single source procurement. But in the past, that's why it was one of our focus areas, because this expansion is very difficult to pick up in the annual report. So the departments, they hide this information on procurement through deviation and expansions in their annual reports. So that's why the committee requested that the National Treasury briefs the committee quarterly on the instances where departments, they procure through deviations and expansions. There are also practice notes that were issued by National Treasury on deviations and expansions, because the National Treasury felt that their departments were abusing this, were over-relying on this provision in order to avoid competitive bidding processes. I'm in slide 16. On the most common findings on deviations and expansions, there were the findings that the committee from the oversight as well as the hearings that the departments were over-relying on this provision. There was weak reasons provided by government departments for deviations. Most of the reasons were mainly due to poor contract planning of the department. The department doesn't plan in time, doesn't have demand plans in time to plan for the procurements in the following year, for example, as well as poor contract management by the departments, which results in the expansions of contracts using this provision of treasury regulations. So the committee will briefly, the committee will call the departments and they will explain. And there are instances where National Treasury, okay, the requirement is that the department, the accounting officer, must write to National Treasury within 10 working days, as well as to Auditor General, should it procure through deviations and expansions. And then the National Treasury will approve the deviation. But in some cases, from the hearings, there were departments where they will procure through deviations, even without the necessary Treasury approval. So it's one of the weaknesses, it's one of the challenges that we find. Also, another one is the challenges is on internal control, weaknesses in internal control, especially the audit committee and in the area of audit committee and internal audit units. These units, we find that in the departments, they are not capacitated, they are not always effective, and there's always high vacancy rate. In some entities, you find that the entities rely heavily on outsourcing of internal audit units, which poses a risk because it means that when the audit is outsourced, the internal audit is outsourced, the internal capacity within the internal audit of the is not capacitated. Also, the recommendations of audit committee or internal audit units, where they are effective, we find that there's an internal audit committee that is effective, and then it writes quarterly reports to the board or to the accounting officer, but with the recommendations, but its recommendations are not implemented or they're not taken into consideration. And we had it in the case of where we went to Transnet, and we in the Transnet oversight audit, and then we sat with the internal audit in the absence of the board, and then they explain their challenges that they have.
Five minutes, okay.
I'll just highlight the key achievements as discussed in the...
You can cross over
slide 18. Slide 18, and then they're also presented in the legacy report. Where the committee intervened on the SASA support, the state information technology agents contracts, where the committee intervened, the referral cases to SIU and anti-corruption for investigations, the hearings on ESCOM and defaulting municipalities, as well as the deviations and expansions on slide 18, which is something that we was never really focused on. So in the past term, the focus really shifted, and then I think it caught the department by surprise because this information, it's information that was not shared. Okay, on slide 19, briefly on the challenges, the internal challenges as well as external challenges that the committee has, that hindered the committee in its oversight, in exercising its oversight. It's lack of responsiveness from departments. You find that departments, they come, they're not prepared, they don't answer the questions, and then it leads to multiple hearings. It means that the departments must be called again, or maybe the department comes and then the key officials to provide the information are not provided. And departments not adhering to time frames in responding to SCOPA recommendations, as well as our own internal challenges with in the past term, where we didn't allocate enough time to
I'm going to stop you there because these issues that are appearing on slide 21 will now be taken over by Gugu and Sriso.
Okay.
We welcome Honorable Swart, Honorable Mahad, Honorable Tolashe, who joined us as we were in the course of the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So if Sriso, are you going first? Sviso will go first.
Okay.
Sviso, you're responsible for social departments, right? Finance. Right. Sviso will take over this section on the outstanding matters. Briefly, Sviso.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members, in this group, which is group one, the economics and the finance cluster, we have got about 14 departments. As you can see in the first, I've listed the departments for ease of reference. But when you look at number two, I hope you have the sort of summary. When you look at point number two, these are the departments which we have outstanding matters from the fifth parliament, which you will make a decision with what is it that you want to do with those issues. 3.1, I'm summarizing, Chairperson. 3.1 is the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Honorable members, here we have a classical example of people putting in effort in trying to do the wrong things. What happened here, the Department of Public Works, through its entity, IDT, Independent Development Trust, they hired a consultant. After some time, when the contract expired, the department took a decision that they wanted the consultant to work for IDT. After he was hired to work for IDT, that consultant now was seconded to the department, the national department itself. So what happens here, because they don't want to go to via the legislated route of advertising for posts and everyone getting an equal opportunity, they said now this consultant must open a shelf company. So what they do is now the department, because he's being seconded from the entity, which is IDT, to Public Works, now they're saying he must open a shelf company. He opens a shelf company, the department hires the shelf company. So the person goes to work for the department, he's getting paid via the shelf company because they want to circumvent the Public Service Act and its regulations. So SCOPA took a resolution and mandated the Public Service Commission last year to do an investigation around this matter. When you look at page 2 in that dialogue box, it gives you just a summary of what happened. The Public Service Commission made their findings on this matter, and then they've made the recommendations. However, SCOPA didn't sit to conclude in this matter so that we finalize to say what is it that must happen, what the department must do. Because, honorable members, as you are aware, there are a lot of implications in this matter. If this individual is now being paid via a shelf company, there might be some tax implications because we don't know how he's being taxed, because he's physically there, but he's not an employee of the department. The department employed his company. So it's a matter that is outstanding, honorable members. Number two, we've got National Treasury. In National Treasury, honorable members, in 2003, Cabinet took a decision to change the financial system of government. And then they decided to procure the what we call Integrated Financial Management System, IFMS. And then down the line in 2019, honorable members, as we speak, for a project that started in 2003, we have not concluded into that project. It has costed government over 1.7 billion in total expenditure so far. It is managed by the National Treasury. After the IFMS one failed, they decided to go for an IFMS 2, which is the second part of the project. But there were a lot of irregularities such that National Treasury commissioned a forensic investigation around this project. And honorable members, there was a report that was produced by this independent firm around this project. But now what is left is for National Treasury to update SCOPA to say, because there were a lot of individuals implicated in that report from National Treasury, the custodian of our public money. So, honorable members, National Treasury, if you decide, they will come and brief you on the progress that has been made based on the forensic report and actions taken thereof. The forensic report is available. I think Ntombi has it. If Chairperson wishes, so they can share with
it for members.
To members, yes. Honorable members, we have got the South African Airways, which is 3.3. Honorable members, we from time to time, I think more than twice in the previous term, The Standing Committee on Public Accounts went to the premises of the South African Airways. Due to the strategic nature of that institution and the monies that the public purse is bleeding every year to that institution, issues which were not concluded. When we arrived there, honorable members, we found out there were a lot of investigations which were commissioned by that institution. Some of the reports were provided to SCOPA, but we never had time to deliberate on those reports and the investigations around the SAA and these issues around the SAA technical, where when we went for an oversight, we find that there were a lot of irregularities that are taking place in that space where the aircraft parts are being stored by this institution. Honorable members, I will move to Transnet, which is on the last page. When we conducted an oversight to Transnet last year, different sections were visited by the committee within that institution. And there were some forensic reports that the board promised to submit to SCOPA with a suspicion of irregularities. Of course, now, honorable members, in the public space or what is happening in that space in Transnet. But there were matters that were not concluded around investigations, which the board promised to provide to SCOPA. We've got ESCOM. The matter that we were dealing with ESCOM, honorable members, were the issues of municipalities that were not paying the bill to ESCOM, which is currently sitting at about 18.5 billion. And the Minister of COCTA was the one who was responsible for engaging with these municipalities. Or let me say he was the one who is in charge to mediate and try to find a lasting solution between ESCOM and these municipalities that don't pay their bills to ESCOM. We had the issue of NSFAS, honorable members. We didn't call this institution last year due to the committee not having enough time. But what is happening there? NSFAS previously had a balance sheet of about 12 billion, which they were using to fund students. But what happened is through the announcement by the president of this free higher education, about 60 billion over the EMTF was allocated to NSFAS. NSFAS is managing that kind of money. It's currently under administration, which means there is no board. The Minister of Higher Education decided to put NSFAS under administration and they appointed an administrator. With that kind of a balance sheet and that money that that NSFAS now is handling on behalf of the South African student for free higher education, and the irregularities that are found in NSFAS. If you look at the 2017-18 annual report for NSFAS, 508 million was paid to students. The Auditor General found that there were no contracts. The money was over and above what was supposed to be paid to students. So now, if they move out of our radar, the committee, you are likely 2 years down the line and find that NSFAS has awarded this multi-billion contract of managing student money to wrong people. We have seen when they've allocated, they've decided to deposit about 14 million to an individual.
Bring it home.
So, Chairperson, another thing, the last point, number four. We have got institutions in this group who usually don't submit the annual reports. Over years. We have got the South African Airways. 5 years on a row, they don't submit, they don't table in terms of Section 65 of the PFMA. We have got the SA Express, they don't table the annual reports. Denel is joining them for the first time, they've been tabled last year. We have got SAFCON, ATMS, and SAPS in this group. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right, thank you, Swissa. Go quickly.
Honorable members, I will take you through outstanding issues for Group 2, which is mainly the social cluster. There are three departments where there are issues which I will go through. I will start with the Department of Water and Sanitation. The Department of Water and Sanitation has an entity which is called the Water Trading Entity. Both the department and the entity had issues. Since I joined the committee 9 years ago, the Water and Sanitation Department always appear before the committee. And last year, I will just go through the issues that they came to Parliament for. They incurred unauthorized expenditure of 933 million. They spent more than what they were given on their budget. So they over exceeded their budget by 933 million, and there were water boards which were overpaid. Sometimes they would be paid twice. So they would be overpaid by twice the amount that they were supposed to be given. They also incurred irregular expenditure of 6.2 billion. Their irregular expenditure right now stands at this amount, which is 6.2 billion. They also had fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 16.2 million. Their management was very unstable. In a period of 5 years, there were about six DGs in the department. And also CFOs keep on changing every now and then. So there is instability at top management. Now the entity which is the water trading entity, they had an overdraft of 3 billion. To start with, entities are not allowed to borrow. But this water trading entity, they borrowed and they never got approval from the National Treasury. So in the little box, there are issues which are highlighted for members to take forward for this sixth parliament. Firstly, for the Department of Water and Sanitation, there are steps which have to be taken against officials who committed unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. There are even very senior officials which were implicated, such as the CFO of the water trading entity. The Deputy Director General of Infrastructure was also implicated. And also the money which was overpaid to water boards have to be recovered from those water boards for the department to be able to sustain itself. Now on page 2, the Special Investigative Unit, which is the SIU, they also conducted several investigations at the Department of Water Affairs. And there are three main investigations. There was one still where the CFO of the water trading entity was implicated, and the Deputy Director General of Infrastructure was implicated in being involved in that tender. The matter was never resolved, so it's for the sixth parliament to take it forward. Secondly, there was a Giani project, including Lipile Northern Water, where a borehole would normally cost 100,000. But in this case, one borehole was costing 1.2 million. So government was being overcharged for the boreholes. So that is one matter that the sixth parliament has to take forward. There was also a contract where a SEP license was bought and CETA was not involved. Usually when a government department buys IT equipment, CETA is always involved. But in this case, CETA was never involved. In the second department, which is SAPS, there are two main contracts. And the first one is the forensic data analysis, where the former commissioner, which was Mr. Pakane, was involved, was implicated in those contracts. And the IP came to Parliament. They raised issues that there is information which is classified that they don't have access to, and they could not continue with their investigation because of classification of that information. When the fifth parliament closed, that information was never declassified. So that is one issue that the fifth parliament has to take forward. There was also a forensic report on irregular expenditure, which was done and which had to be finalized by the Department of by the South African Police Service, which was also never finalized, that the sixth parliament has to take forward. Now, coming to the last entity on Group 2, which is the SABC. The SABC had irregular expenditure of 4.4 billion in 2018, and there are three main contracts which were involved. There is Lona Vision, where the former CFO, Mr. Aguma, was implicated, and an amount of 62.7 million had to be recovered from that contract. The second contract was Vision View, where a contract was for 52 million and it was awarded irregularly. There was Sekela Kabiso, including 31 million, where the contract was also awarded irregularly. There was an SABC official called Ms. Salim Zweni, who was facing 11 charges of fraud and corruption, and the date was set for 22nd November 2018. That matter was never finalized because the fifth parliament was coming to a close. So those are the issues that have to be taken forward for the sixth parliament.
Thank you very much, Dando, Swiso, and Kuku. What has been a very comprehensive unpacking of the issues before us that are outstanding, which will of course be compounded by the annual reports arriving in September, because then more work on top of this will be before us. So I think it was important that we unpack all of this. I will now invite members to deliberate. Babu Dex? Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Dando. Thank you very much for your presentation and all the other people that have presented. We have read the report because Ntombi has sent us the report, emailed it to us a week ago, 2 weeks ago. So we went through the report, but I think it was very helpful actually to listen to her too. It's nice. It reminds me of school, you know, you listen to the teacher too, you know. So it was actually very, it just reinforced the things that you were thinking of when you were reading the report. So it was actually very helpful that you actually went through the report. You know, there's issues, there's about four issues I want to raise here. Unfortunately, I did not have an opportunity of discussing with my colleagues on this side here. But for me personally, which I'll still raise with my colleagues in our study group meeting, is these issues that, these entities that is very crucial in my mind, it is which we have dealt with, which is National Treasury. There is SARS. I haven't seen SARS in the report. SARS. And then there is ESCOM and SAA. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning these ones and which I would really like us to focus on is because these are the big ones in the country. The National Treasury is looking after our finances. SARS must collect our finances. ESCOM must keep the lights on. If the lights is not on, the economy does not grow. SAA takes us all around the country, and you can currently two of them are there's disaster in two of them. Now let me just go into some of the issues. I'm not going to be long. Just some of the issues that I want to raise on this issue. You see this issue of National Treasury, this IFMS. When during the first parliament, when I was in the public service administration, we dealt with the thing here. And we left the officials. We were going for interrogating them a little bit from the Treasury Department, but we left them because they were coming to SCOPA. So we felt, no, let us not seek media publicity in the committee because they will account to SCOPA on this thing here. This thing is terrible. It's very, very bad what Treasury have done here. For Treasury, they must enforce the rules, financial rules, go and break the financial rules. way back from 2000 and something, from 2000 and something, they've broken the financial rule. And that thing has increased and increased and increased. So we have to deal with this matter. I think this is one of the matters that we must deal with, and people must account. And there must be consequences for what has happened there. The second one is SARS, the ones that are collecting our revenue. And we will, the AG, we'll push the AG and say, AG, what about these things there? We want you to investigate these things. They have bought that IT company that was worth 2 million rand. They bought it for 75 million rand. 75 million rand. That's SARS done that there. Today, we have spent more than a billion rand on that thing there. No reports on it, no consequences for what they have done way back. Then coming to ESCOM, I don't want us to deal with the superficial issues. When we built Matupi and Kulusile, when Matupi and Kulusile was built, they put in advance. They put all advance orders. They place advance orders for coal, and when the coal was supposed to be delivered, they were not ready to receive the coal. And the supplier said, "I can't keep the coal," and they paid the supplier in any case. They paid the supplier for the coal, and they've never received that coal there because they could not store the coal, and it was billions of rands. They paid for coal which they have never received, which have never delivered. That's what they're doing. And you don't see those things there. You don't see it in the media because media wants to hide some things. You don't see it in the media, and you don't see anybody reporting. And we don't see it coming here. Then there's also the contracts, which I do not know if it's legal in this country and if it's in line with our procurement policies. That you're issuing 40-year contracts in 24-year and 40-year contracts. I believe contracts can't go more than 5 years, at most is 10 years, and you must be special circumstances. But there's contracts that's running for 24 and 40 years at ESCOM. We want to know what is going on there. And also we need to know who are the politically connected people that are benefiting out of those contracts. We need to know who are these companies that are supplying ESCOM. Who are the companies supplying? Who are the politically connected people to that? We need to know that information so that we can take decisions. We don't want superficial issues. We want the deep-down issues where the real money is, where people have been looting this country for decades and decades. Since 1994, this country has been looted, and we want to get to the bottom of it. We want to know who are these people, companies that have got these 40-year contracts, which I believe is illegal, and who are the politically connected people to these companies. Then the last one is SAA. There's a financial report, there's a forensic report that was commissioned by this government. They appointed international firms of forensic investigators to investigate the issue of SAA. And that report has been released, but that report has never come to Parliament. We've never seen that report. How SAA, how we sold off our planes, SA sold off their planes, and how they in return leased them back. You sell it and then you lease it back. We need to know all those things. And the golden handshake that went on since 1994. We need to know all those things so that we can get to the bottom of the sea and take decisive action. I don't want this committee to deal with superficial issues. We must get to the root of this thing here. Yeah? What has happened since 1994? Because we know what has happened, and we know that people do not want to speak about it. AG must assist us. We want to deal with these issues, get to the bottom of it, and deal with it for once and for all. And I think these are the big ones we must deal with. Leave this one. We'll come later on to those other smaller ones. But let's deal with these big issues here, where the real money is. And then South Africa will be shocked to see what has happened in this country since 1994. That's what we must deal with. Thank you.
Good. And Mr. Lees.
Mr. Chairman, there's certainly the big issues that we need to deal with, and I can absolutely agree that those are the issues. I don't think we're in a position to actually deal with the details this morning, but I would agree that our focus be there. But, Mr. Chairman, what I want to really look at is how are we going to operate as a committee going forward. That's really, I think, more what we should be talking about today. or it's something to handle in a management committee. But the way the committee operated in the past, I think, was by and large the way we should continue to operate. There are some things that we can tweak and make better. And so the question I think that Honourable Dirks is raising is the focus, which I think is important. So to have two groups dealing with a whole list of departments and I don't know how many entities, because the entities aren't listed on this very nice list we've been given.
We're dealing about 345
for each department. So one needs to look at that and whether we want to operate on a group structure at all. It's not in the rules. It's something that that was decided, I presume, by the previous committee, although I was here, and I don't remember that decision being taken. The rules allow for subcommittees, and so I suppose one could assume that these groups are two subcommittees. And if so, then we should use the terminology that's used in the rules rather than our own terminology. And so if one were to look at the objectives, strategic objectives that were set by the previous committee, we need to look at those, and I'm not sure that we're doing that this morning, or are we doing it? Are we looking at what our objectives are? Because all that operating structure needs to be put in place before we get to the very important work that Honourable Dirks is talking about. And we can then go forward and hold people to account. But the fact is, Mr. Chairman, that the biggest financial issue facing South Africa today is Eskom. And we can't spend too much time talking about how we're going to operate without focusing on Eskom, which is about to bring South Africa to its knees. So I don't want to waste time, but I do think it's important that we look at how we're going to operate. And by and large, I don't think that a lot needs changing from the way it used to operate. I am though concerned about this group, the group structure, and the huge number of entities, particularly what was Group One, with the whole of public enterprises falling into that one group. When, as Honourable Dirks points out, and National Treasury, with SARS as one of its entities, all falling into the one group, which I think needs some rethinking. So, having said that, Mr. Chairman, that's what I'd like us to fairly quickly structure ourselves and then get on with the important work that Honourable Dirks has so eloquently put to us, although I have some differences with the issues within which he has made, but that's for another day.
Yeah. All right. Colleagues, anything else? Bob, some?
Thank you very much.
Let's appreciate this information, because I take it that the intention was to let the committee members know substantively what is it that is facing this committee. And it might then come up the fact that looking into these kind of conventional matters would then, based on the strategy that we're going to follow going forward, would then evaluate what sort of structural arrangements which are going to assist us as a clear vehicle to take us forward. The purpose today would have been that the members are aware that this is what is facing us, and then probably through your own leadership, we find time as a committee to sit and reflect on a broad strategy as to how this committee is going to pursue its own duties going forward, which itself requires a number of approaches, inclusive of the structure of the committee in terms of how it's going to take this work going forward. And then the value of that substance in terms of the work that is facing the committee itself. It is so clear, Chair, to Chair, that indeed, if you look into what are the pertinent topical issues facing the country itself, one which the President has spoken about is our clear focus on ethical, governance, which the committee's drive would focus on such in terms of the detailed outlay of such work, looking into the reports that we're going to look into, and then through such the issues which have been raised here as matters that we're going to look into, we are going to pay our attention in accordance to such. There might be areas that indeed freshly need the indulgence. You look into the number of commissions which are taking place currently. The PIC is in the spotlight. You see nothing here in terms of the PIC. And there are quite a number of things that we need to probably, that reviewer, informed by the strategy and approach of what we take, we could find other ways of dealing with these other things which are emanating from the load of other things that we need to do. For me, I really wish to appreciate this kind of offload of work, and it then begins to say to us, thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bugler.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just on the maybe page 19, the challenges. The concern is that, the departments not adhering to time frames, not enough time allocated for the considerations of SCOPA reports. I think, Chair, we definitely have a lot to do, but limited time and limited members. And we must see how we can put the bite back in the bark. We can't just bark and there's nothing. We must look at the outstanding issues, and because the departments know that reports, we table the reports in the House and then nothing happened. And this, they are going on like business as usual. I thought that, I know that the tracking of resolutions here in Parliament is better than in the provinces. But tracking of resolutions and the following up and consequences is a problem. Because we are tabling year after year. I was asking last time that please give me resolutions for one department for 5 years. And it was the same resolutions because nothing happened, and SCOPA, we don't follow up on the resolutions that we tabled in the House. The last thing, Chair, is if we look at the status and the regression of in municipalities, then we must see as this committee, how can we assist provinces to capacitate MPECs in municipalities? Because that's a problem, because municipalities are not taking MPEC serious. And that's why the regression and the work, the understanding of the work of MPEC, they don't understand it in local municipalities. And if something happened, then they remove the MPEC chest. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. All right. Honorable Swat and Honorable Dolasha, then we will bring it to a close.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the comprehensive reports that we got. The elephant is huge, it's a bit scary. I just want to say, Chair, that we need to deal with these reports that are outstanding from the First Parliament as soon as possible before we even receive more in September. Because these outstanding reports are very crucial, and it has got very big impacts in terms of irregularities that has been going on. And I'm just saying that if, for example, the report that we got on South African Airways that for 5 financial years they have not brought reports to this committee and they are forever getting bailouts, how do they get these bailouts? I think we should start working so that we get to the bottom of such things, that how did such things happen, so that people are brought before this committee to account, so that we get to understand what are all these things that are going on. So I think the work is very huge that is before us, and we should start working. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My apologies for coming in late. Honorable Chairperson, the honorable members who have just spoken, they've to an extent read my mind. However, indeed, the elephant is huge. I also would want to hear more, Chairperson, on the issue of the MPEG vis-a-vis ourselves. Having noted the outcome of the AG's report insofar as municipalities are concerned, and for us, this is where the service delivery is, because municipalities are at the cold face of service delivery. Whatever we do here, it must be able to reflect where they're at that level. The very last one, Honorable Chairperson, is the state of readiness of the AG with the new arrangement that they have. For me, will be heard only when we are able to bite. If you can't bite, means it will be the usual things where we sit. I usually watch Scopa sitting for days and hours talking the same things all over again, but on an annual basis, department come back with the same things. So if we can go to hear how rate the AG is insofar as biting is concerned, so that we don't really waste time by people who are supposed to be acted upon and say things again, because they know Scopa will be there, will ask difficult questions, they'll stumble to answer, they'll go home, nothing will happen. But this time around, at least there is this tool that can, to an extent, assist. But lastly, indeed, we need to plan our work thoroughly. If we bite, we might not be able to chew. But we must be systematic in biting so that you are able to really produce some work. I congratulate the Fifth Parliament on the work that was done at that time. They really moved on. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mama Khaw.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning, all. Let me also add my voice by apologizing for arriving late. I think, Chairperson, my colleagues have said them all, because what is of vital importance for us now, we are new as members in this committee, and it is one of the important committees, is for us to assess the previous performance of the committees and check the challenges then, because what I discovered is that even the committee itself has had its own challenges in terms of meeting some of the requirements, in terms of engaging some of the departments. Maybe it's time constraints. Maybe it's for us to review how best now are we going to deal with our own challenges as a department in terms of engaging some of the departments on challenges facing those departments. And also maybe come out with a strategy how best are we going to make the point that our recommendation, because we can sit here and come with recommendations, if they are not implemented, we will be wasting our time. So I'm just adding that the issue of trying to come up as soon as possible with a turnaround strategy to make it happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, I really appreciate that feedback because it will help and inform the planning that we need to do. I just want to start on the issue of resolution to say that has always been a problem for us as a committee, and of course because we follow up on resolutions through the Speaker's office, we're going to need to interact with the Speaker's office and the House Chairperson responsible for committees
so to actually pin down on that. But that will also mean us reporting to the House more regularly than it used to happen. Because I think there's merit in that. We have very good meetings, but follow through, and then therefore there's no impact in terms of something binding. So that is important. I just want to react on the issue of ESCOM, which has been raised by a number of colleagues, to say I've taken the initiative already to write to the chairperson of the board, particularly around Medupi and Gusile. The response came in this morning as we are coming to this meeting. So one will have the time to look at it and circulate it to members, which is an initial report on the state of things about those two entities and constructions. And suppose it's very important because, colleagues, I think when we have to do oversight, it's good and well to go to head offices of entities and departments, but we need to be actually on the ground. So I think the ESCOM must be a priority, and we need to go and see for ourselves whether what is on paper and what is on the ground actually correlates. So we have to go to Medupi and Gusile. I think that is something we need to do as part of our oversight capabilities. So members will receive the information sent by ESCOM by the end of today when we have gone through it. The responses have come in about the issues raised about it, because it is an important issue. On the operations, well, I think it will be to our best interest that we maintain the group system as a clearing house for plenary to do the spade work, which we ordinarily cannot be doing as we sit like this and have those focus areas. We'll circulate the suggestions. I take the point that one group may be overloaded over the other, so we'll have to probably change the modality around that so that we actually begin a process of making sure that every report is scrutinized. And then we rank them in terms of, all right, where do we start and where do we end. But I think there is merit in us going, making sure that every report receives attention when it is served before us. On the issues which are outstanding, as the legacy report cites and as the presentation and the two summaries given to us, I've already started the process of writing to all the relevant accounting officers or boards about those outstanding matters, so we can receive information as an update, and that as and when it arrives will be circulated to members, because there are a number of issues which are outstanding and has already been pointed out, and so we do need to make sure that we somehow tie down to logical conclusions on all matters. So I'm sure that as the correspondence comes in on all those matters as they appear in the legacy report, they will receive our attention as we receive information. On the issue of APEC and MPEC, we have already sat down with the House Chairperson responsible for committees on that matter, because APEC has now become a National Assembly competence through the Speaker's Forum. We are awaiting that formal handover to us. So it is being discussed, and when we receive that information as well, but I've raised it with them and indicated that as part of our strategic planning, we need to know the status of how we pursue the APEC matter, because that will, of course, assist us deal with your municipalities. I do want to say we've got problem child municipalities, some which have been receiving disclaimers and adverse findings for periods of 5 to 10 years without any consequence. And so we will need to prioritize those for ourselves here. I think we are fortunate that the chairperson of the Standing Committee on the Auditor General is a member of this committee. So we are collaborating on that to receive a briefing to the two committees on the audit outcomes of municipalities, so that from there we then pursue the problematic municipalities. Some municipalities are under Section 139 as we speak, so we do need to get detailed reports on how things are going there. Suppose we can't deal with every municipality, but when a municipality is receiving a disclaimer and adverse finding for 5 years, surely that should attract our attention. But this, of course, will mean we also give full support, capacity, and strength to SCOPAs and MPECs to be able to do the work. But those ones which will be identified as repeat offenders, let us make sure that we deal with those. On the issues of SASA, I mean SAA, SARS, ESCOM, and National Treasury, and all those issues, Dex, we will most certainly prioritize them as we move forward, because they are part of the outstanding matters which must receive our attention. I fully agree on the issue of putting the bite back into the buck. And the AG, Sanele, if you can assist us for AG in the briefing that we will get on your state of readiness in the terms of the new amendments, and so that we know where you are and where the challenges are. We are, of course, the challenge with meetings now is these EPCs and budget votes, but I think we will round robin members, find out if you're not in EPCs, let us find those days that are vacant, because our meeting days are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. So we need to make full use of those. And of course, colleagues, if we need to meet between 6 and 9 in the evening on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, we will do that as well. and Friday. But I think we're going to work smart. There's no use just slogging it out without any direction. The purpose really of today, colleagues, was to put into the public space that we are equal to the task at hand. And we are going to continue the work that has happened. And I request members that we are planning a training and induction session full scale. We are awaiting dates from the Office of the Speaker, because the dates we had earmarked in our planning seem to clash with an engagement that the Speaker wants to have of committees. So we are just trying to find ourselves around that timeline. I'm sure we'll receive that response by tomorrow. And if we get the go-ahead, we are meeting on the 24, 25, 26. So those are the dates we are to finalize the strategic plan, which we must submit to Parliament, and the APP for the committee for the year. So I request that, colleagues, that next week we prioritize Tuesday and Wednesday morning meetings to receive the outstanding briefings. I know there are EPCs, but I think at the same time, We will try and maneuver around that. We will work with the whip and try and maneuver around those particular ones. But I think there are urgent matters that we need. We need reports on municipalities. We need to prioritize. We need to speak to the ESCOM issue, as their submission has arrived. We need to speak to that and chat a way forward about ESCOM. Because if we wait for September for the reports, then it means we're doing nothing in July, August. So can we run the process of training and induction parallel to the urgent and immediate matters? We will constitute the groups and see how they work, and then make an assessment of those in September and see. But I think for the purposes of as a clearinghouse to deal with this, can those be prioritized? What will happen is that Gugu and Swiso will be paired with one group each, and Dombi and Ben will be paired with one group, so there will be a researcher and a committee secretary for each. Dando will nest the twins so long, and then we will move forward in in that fashion. We'll assess how it goes and make input to streamline our work when we actually are at also the strategic planning session which we would want to have ASAP. I will write to the chief whips about meeting during EPCs so that they are aware that we are in that process. Unless a three-line whip is called urgently, but the program only indicates the sitting is next is tomorrow between 9:30 and 9:30 for the purposes of the Standing Committee on Intelligence. Otherwise, there's no plenary up until the 18th or 19th, and then the Deputy President on the 24th. So until then, we are good with plenaries. And of course, there will be the plenary for Parliament's budget vote and the President's budget vote. Otherwise, all else in between now in terms of Parliament's program is the EPC. So I request members that don't be the draft program for training be circulated to members, and for members to make an input into that content of that training. And if we can get your responses by tomorrow, 12 o'clock, for training, the training program for members, so that we can streamline it and issue one formal program and finalize the application with the House Chairperson for our meetings. So I would like to believe that we accept the legacy report as a basis of where we come from, or where SCOPA comes from, because if I say we, then I make the assumption that we are all in the Fifth Parliament. We accept what the Fifth Parliament did, and the shortcomings that have been identified will be attended to. And I want to emphasize also on the issue of minutes and reports, that we will need from time to time, even if fortnightly, have a plenary session, we deal with minutes and reports so that the issues don't go cold, and have a continuous flow of information in the ATC and into the House about our reporting. So I would like to believe that we'll end it there. All right, safe to say that before I take you, Mr. Lees, we welcome Mr. Balfour, whom we have not met, who is the committee assistant. He will wave his hand so we all know as the committee assistant. Mr. Lees?
Just some housekeeping, Mr. Chairman. Could the committee, whoever arranges venues, please, this is the premier committee of this parliament. Do not put us in committee room 1 and 2.
For sure.
Anywhere else, but.
No, we are prioritizing V454 as a meeting room for, and E2494 bigger sessions. And this particular, so V454 is down the passage here. We are trying to make sure that it becomes a permanent committee room for us. So, colleagues, I request that if there's anything that you would like to now feed into our work, can we receive all of that by tomorrow, 12 o'clock, and we will advise on next week's committee meeting. In the absence of any other hand, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
I'm coming from international labor.